Coffee, your glass of water, whatsoever, we're going to start now the first panel session of the afternoon. My name is Jean Lebel. I'm with the International Development Research Center, Crown Corporation, based in Ottawa with regional offices around the world with a mandate to develop research capacity in the developing world through grant-making process targeted directly to research institutions in those countries, an institution that has been there for 40 years. And I'm joined today also by my co-chair, Dr. Yvon Martel, who is the Chief Scientist at Ag and Agri-Food Canada. And you'll see us interacting throughout this panel session, changing the tone of the voice, keeping us all in good shape, and listening to the very interesting set of presentation that we have from a panel of people that are coming from around the world. It is a pleasure for us, Yvon and I, to just be here to facilitate the flow of speaker, and they have something to say. They have something to say on research. They have something to say on capacity building from their organization, from their experience as researcher also. And as well, they are here to tell us a little bit what could be the priorities. And that will be also the way we will tackle the discussion afterwards. If you can question, but also comments on what you see as research and development capacity building, development that are needed and what are the priorities, we will be quite happy to hear from them as we are also trying to gather some information for future use. With that said, I'm going to pass the floor to my vice chair, Dr. Yvon Martel, to introduce our first speaker. Yvon?
Merci beaucoup. C'est un plaisir d'être le co-président de la session cet après-midi. It gives me great pleasure to introduce you our first speaker, Professor Ikenna Onido. Professor Onido has a PhD in physical organic chemistry from the University of Ibadan, Nigeria. After a postdoc in Uppsala, he returned to Nigeria where he occupied several university positions, including Dean of Science. Since 2006, he is the Vice Chancellor of the Michael Okpara University of Agriculture in Nigeria. He has received several awards, including Fellow of the World Innovation Foundation, Fellow of the Nigerian Academy of Science, and Fellow of the African Academy of Sciences. Please welcome Professor Onido.
Good afternoon. Let me start by thanking the organizers of this meeting for extending an invitation to us to be part of this event. It's been a very exciting and useful experience. A lot has been said that will necessarily be repeated on my slides, but I'm going to concentrate on some other areas that where I, what have I done? Okay, sorry.
Get you out of that.
Yeah, get me out of here.
You just press that button.
Okay. Well, the university we come from is located in the southeastern part of Nigeria. You can see the arrow that identifies the state of a country where this is in the southern part of Nigeria, southeast, with its rainforest vegetation. We all know, we've been talking about the challenges of having a food secure world. The challenges of meeting the rapidly growing food needs of the teeming population of Nigeria, Nigeria is 140 million and growing, cannot be successfully met without significant and sustained investment in research and development, without a conscious effort in turning research outputs into practice, and without sustained capacity building for research and extension in agriculture and related disciplines. As my colleague from a sister university said yesterday, Agriculture is the principal source of food and livelihood in Nigeria, employing nearly 3/4 of the nation's workforce. Farm and crop productivity is uncomfortably low, partly due to low soil fertility, lack of appropriate crop varieties, droughts, parasitic weeds, crop pests and diseases, poor access to inputs and information, and other causes. Post-harvest losses are huge, especially in fruits, vegetables, roots, and tuber crops. The agriculture is mainly rent-fed, dominated almost 90% by smallholder farmers with average farm size of less than 2 hectares. And the dwindling replacement of aging farmers who are put between 55 and 65 years, in our view, constitutes a debilitating drawback on agricultural productivity and the attainment of national food security. Several schemes have been implemented in the past by successive Nigerian governments to address the issue of food security, but these have not achieved these desired goals due to a number of reasons. We will not have time to discuss them there. The institutional arrangement for research in various agricultural problems is such that we have 17 national agricultural research institutes with mandates in different crops, 3 research institutes with mandates for animal production and health, several faculties of agriculture in federal, state, and private universities. There are about 94 universities in Nigeria, and 3 specialized federal universities of agriculture, of which mine is one, but the youngest. Experience shows that there is a huge gap between laboratory field research outputs and farmers' current farm practices. And this can be attributed to the fact that research efforts are individualized and lack coordination, appropriate structures for identifying and translating novel research results into practical use by farmers are lacking, and the national extension system requires repositioning. We therefore state that to effectively tackle these challenges in Nigeria, emphasis must be placed on research and development. A number of speakers have spoken on the need for sustained investment in research and development, and I will not bore you with that aspect today, this afternoon. We also need to emphasize the building of capacity of researchers and farmers and ensuring the existence of functional extension services. Now, research and development, just a few words. We would like to propose that the areas of emphasis are the following, but not necessarily restricted to this, the following: soil fertility and crop yield, animal productivity and animal health, food storage, processing and value addition, land and environmental degradation, and strategies for efficient management and maintenance of the natural resource base, etc., and etc. The universities, which form the bulk of the research workforce in Nigeria, have in the past conducted research that are individualistic, tied mainly to the promotion prospects of the researcher, and therefore not properly aligned with national objectives or even institutional philosophies. And in order for us to define a proper pathway to achieving desired results in R&D in Nigeria, we suggest that research in universities and other institutions must be adaptive in nature, must be problem solving, must be issues and commodity based, and of course, there has the overarching issue of being environmentally friendly. The days of monocultural research are over. The issues that we are tackling these days require a transdisciplinary approach in order to guarantee relevance, applicability, and acceptability. There are no recognizable institutional structures for determining research priorities, research administration and management, And we advocate that in order to make the desired impact in research and development, there is the need for institutional structures to be installed that will undertake periodic review of priorities in line with national needs and ensure that research is properly coordinated and the resources effectively managed. In my university, having realized that individualistic efforts cannot lead us to solving the problems of food security, we decided to adopt the approach of having a research policy and plan document, which was widely debated within the university community and eventually approved by Senate and the Governing Council. This approach recognizes the existence of a university research board under the chairmanship of the vice chancellor, and this board has the responsibility of delineating priorities and periodically reviewing issues and determining which are short-term, medium-term, and long-term objectives. Within this context, there is a Directorate of Research and Development, which is headed by a professor that administers and manages the research and development enterprise. This body is also responsible for administering the research grants that are based in the university and for prospecting for grants from outside sources, among other functions. This approach delineates transdisciplinary research programs, and each of these research programs is led by a senior academic, while university scientists and researchers, depending on their interests and competence, are free to indicate their membership of the programs. Then research teams in the programs compete for available research funding within the university and are assisted to compete for grants from outside. That's our conceptual model, which we'll discuss later on, but it does link research and development with capacity building, with dissemination structure for our research, and the issue deals with where transfer of innovation and diffusion of technologies to the outside communities occurs within the context of interplay between staff and students, the local extension community, and partnerships with international and local organizations. As I said earlier, there is the need to have a viable extension system. The extension and outreach strategies are geared towards building farmers' capacity to utilize improved crop and animal production techniques, that's transfer of technology, and importantly, to design innovative pathways for disseminating research results and innovations to the farmers and industry. Decades of extension work in Nigeria, the progress has been made, but the desired results do not match the expectations and sometimes the investment for a number of reasons. Interestingly, some of these issues are being addressed by the extension agencies and organs of government. Interventions in the past were decided without participation by farmers. The scientists were seen as being all-knowing. Farmers were treated in isolation from their households, while socioeconomic and cultural circumstances of the farmers were in many cases not factored into intervention strategies. In some cases, target farmers may be too poor to care about new technologies, and the overall issue of food production being part of the larger issue of human well-being needs to be taken into account. In other words, our own strategy in the university is to deliver agricultural productivity, to deliver agricultural technologies to farming communities in the company of other sectoral interventions through a broad-based metrics of interventions. So while we talk about agricultural productivity being the main subject, we will also consider health and nutrition experts coming along in order to advise and deal with health issues, sanitation issues, issues of education, women and youth empowerment, and rural prosperity through the establishment of agribusinesses. Many people in this audience will be familiar with this approach, which is Jeffrey Sachs' approach in the Millennium Village projects. In this model, we have established three model villages, model in quotes, in the surrounding communities where we undertake the following activities. One, technology dissemination to enable farmers achieve optimum production and use of their traditional crops in the face of climate change. For the following crops, yam, cassava, maize, oil palm, horticultural crops. We also have interventions in agribusinesses, establishing agribusinesses in the local communities. There is a lot of youth unemployment, and our intervention aims to partly address that through the establishment of agribusinesses with microfinancing leveraged by the university to establish small-scale poultry farms, snail farms, fish farms, oil processing facilities, etc. 2 minutes. We also have intervention, as I said, in health, sanitation, nutrition, women and youth empowerment through training for skills and education for adults. On capacity building, Interesting to know that the local farmers now are encouraged to use their cell phones. We encourage them to buy cell phones, and they use that to call in to our extension agents and interact with them wherever they are as a first line of communication to describe what problems that arise, so that in real time, these farmers are now communicating with the scientists and extension agents, and their problems are looked into as rapidly as possible. It's interesting the use of cell phones, which we encourage them as part of the investment to buy, it's interesting to see what change it is bringing in their farming activities. In conclusion, since my chairman is looking at me, this paper has examined research and capacity building as priorities for agriculture and food security in Nigeria. In this paper, we have argued that a veritable route to attainment of food security in Nigeria is through research and translating the output of such research into practical use by farmers. We did say that this will require capacity building as well as sustained and functional, the existence of sustained and functional extension system. The packaging of scientific results in appropriate formats for farmers' use will be critical in the uptake of research results. And it remains for me to thank you for your kind attention.